man in the iron mask.
Suggested from the version by Alexander Dumas and specially written for radio by Eric Scott, a George Edwards production. King Louis of France, delighting in the intrigue which involves him at the moment, dresses in quieter garb so that he can impersonate his brother on the island of St. Marguerite. And he leaves early in the morning, a cowl covering his head, with Letellier, his confidential advisor. However, the Queen, Maria Theresa, has seen them leave the courtyard and suspects that there is mischief afoot. She immediately rings for her maid-in-waiting, Louisa, and asks her if she will follow the King and find out what mischief is in the air. She then confesses to Louisa that she loves Edmund Marchiali.
Your Majesty, you love Edmund Marchiali.
Yes, Louisa. I understand so much now that I know that they are twins. A king and Edmund. And somehow the secrecy this morning... You see, the king forgave too easily.
Then he means to harm his brother Edmund after all?
That is what I want to find out. Oh, but Louisa, you must not waste time talking. You have to change and dress. There will be no delay about the coach. It is ordered already.
Oh, but I may lose track of the king, Your Majesty.
Not if you keep to the main road. That highway running down by the side of the park. It's the only highway to the sea. The sea. Why would His Majesty go for the sea secret? Oh, but hurry, Louisa. Waste no more time.
Soon the boat will be alongside, Your Majesty. Have you any special instructions for me?
Only that you are to take my brother back, Letellier, by the coach in which we came. Back to the palace to continue to masquerade as myself.
And what of you?
Edmund must not know that I am traveling to this island. We must tell him that I am traveling to another part of France, in the same boat.
If only he guessed your real destination.
Oh, the lovely Marguerite. I can't forget her, you know, Letellier. Just one glimpse, and I can't get her out of my mind. I wonder if she's affectionate.
All women are affectionate when they're in love.
I think this will be the most entertaining holiday I've ever had in my life. Oh, but look. He's almost alongside now.
Hello there. Hello there.
I shall walk across to these trees. Bring him to me, Letellier. There are too many curious sailors within earshot here.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Hi there, you. Letellier, will you come with me, please? Your friend will talk with you over by the trees. Did you have a good journey across?
It was a little choppy and the wind from the south. Fair enough, though, and the wind has dropped.
Oh, that is fortunate.
Fortunate now? Then my journey is completed, Monsieur Letellier.
Quite so, but
it is fortunate for others who contemplate the commencement of a journey. Ah, here's the king.
Ah, good day to you, Edmund.
And to you, Louis. This is a very happy meeting for me.
Happy?
I want to thank you for your letter. It's made all the difference to my life, Louis. For the first time for many months, I have hopes and ambitions. You really are going to set me free?
When I have done my work, yes.
This is a surprise, meeting you here. I expected to find you at the palace.
I have business to do, Edmund, business along the coast. As a matter of fact, I'm taking the same boat which brought you from the island. I hope it's comfortable.
Very comfortable. How long will you be away, Louis? How long will I work for you at the palace?
Oh, well, it's difficult to say, Edmund. You see, on my journey, there may be one or two distractions.
Well, don't worry on my account. I'm so happy and so grateful to think that soon I'll be a free man again. I'd willingly work for you for 3 months or more, since it means my freedom.
3 months? Oh, dear, no. No matter how beautiful. Oh.
What's the matter?
Oh, never mind. Never mind. Well, my dear Edmund, I've no special instructions for you, except to repeat once again. Be wary of the Cardinal.
Yes, Louis.
And make sure that my dear mother does not try to meddle in affairs of state.
The affairs of state worry me a little since I can show no judgment nor talk about
it. I'll leave that to my statesmen. They are always only too anxious to fill in the gap when conversation lags. Well, goodbye, my dear Edmund. May you perform your duties as diligently as you have done in the past.
This will be my most diligent work. For now I have a future. Freedom for myself and my wife.
Your wife? You have a wife?
But yes, of course. Don't you remember? I told you.
Oh, yes, yes, that's right. Oh, how stupid of me. I'm so vague lately. Oh, perhaps it's because I have so much to do. Traveling around the country, settling this, settling that. Even indulging in arduous sea trips. Goodbye, my dear brother.
Godspeed.
Yes? Ah, my dear child, it is you.
May I come in, Mother?
But of course, Maria. I was about to go to the chapel.
I'm sorry, Mother. Do I stand in your way?
No, no. And wait, for I feel you've come to tell me something most important. All this week I watched you in the courtyard and in the garden, sitting by yourself, brooding, thinking, weighing your future. Now you've come to your decision.
Yes, Mother.
And what is the decision, child? Are you prepared now to enter the church with an open mind, clear and fresh and free from the ties of the outside world?
Yes, Mother.
This man you loved, is there still love in your heart?
I have discovered it is not love, Mother. This man was a man of high rank, one of the highest. I thought I loved him. But in that love was mixed up my patriotism to my country, my yearning to be loved, my weakness to flattery. Oh, yes, Mother, I have searched myself, and I have found that all these things which stood so high in my mind out there in the world are now nothing when I see the way of life that opens before me here in this nunnery.
I'm glad, child. I said it would be this way with you, and yet I was not sure. That's why I suggested that you stay here for several days and mingle with the sisters, talk with them, and spend hours upon contemplation of the future.
Mother, I have kept you from the chapel. The bell has already stopped ringing. Will they not have started?
It matters not. Now we have a new one for the flock. Take my hand, my dear. This morning we will go to the chapel together.
Yes, Mother.
And remember this. You released yourself from the ties of the outside world. From now on comes a period of study and devotion to the greatest service in this world. Should you ever find yourself drifting back...
That will never be.
But should this be the case, come to me always, child, and I will talk with you. Never keep such a secret locked in your heart. To become a guilty, hidden sore, to bring you pain and sorrow. Listen to the quiet harmony of the chapel. It is for you now to find your particular place in this harmony, which dominates our lives here in this haven. Come, child, kneel with me.
Come in. Why, Monsieur Samar?
Good afternoon to you, Marguerite. Still in the same place, I think.
I love this chair by the open window. Such a magnificent view. Those waves roaring in that cauldron below.
300 feet, I understand.
It's fearsome and beautiful. And then the curve of the little bay in the headland. And away in the distance, that smear on the horizon.
France.
France. Where my husband is at this moment. You know why this is my favorite chair, Monsieur Samar? It is because I promised my husband that I would be looking out for him, waiting for him to come back.
Surely you don't expect him so soon.
Of course not. But I want to be here just in case. Neither Edmund nor I know how long he will be detained in France. But we both know that this will be the last time. When he comes back to the island, he will be a free man. And what a joyous celebration it will be that night.
Could we have a bonfire, Monsieur Thomas?
As free citizens, you shall have everything you want.
Oh, how wonderful. A bonfire. And perhaps supper on the beach, with the stars at our roof. Maybe there will be a moon. And I shall sing to Edmund as I used to sing to him in my father's field. And all this will happen on the day when I see a little white sail. When I see a little white sail... Oh, Monsieur Thomas, hand me that spyglass.
What is the matter?
Across, beyond the headland. Oh, no, this is a trick of the imagination. I think so much of Edmund, of his homecoming, of this wonderful thing that will happen to us both, that I imagine it. And yet, Monsieur Thomas, even through the spyglass, perhaps if you would look...
Give me the glass.
I dwell too much on Edmund, that is the trouble. How could he be possibly on his way back so soon? Why, it was only this morning that he left. And yet...
But it is his boat. I can see the cross and the star on the sail quite plainly.
Oh, Monsieur Thomas, then he's come back so soon. Oh, but this is wonderful. I must make ready for him straight away. These rooms, I'll fill them with flowers. There'll be time to pick them. It'll be an hour out at sea. And supper. Could we have a celebration supper, Monsieur Thomas?
I'll give orders to the cook that it will be a feast.
A feast to celebrate freedom. Oh, darling Edmund, how happy I feel to see that white sail. To think that you've come back so soon. Only a few hours parted, and here you are once again.
As Marguerite rushed about the rooms, dusting this, straightening that, and as she prepared to leave the fortress and run through the woods and gather an armful of wildflowers for this bower, she little realized that inside the sailing ship was not her beloved husband, but his twin Louis. Louis, who, with avid intent, was at this moment gazing upon the island on which his boat was approaching. Make sure you hear the next interesting chapter of The Man in the Iron Mask.